Hi, I'm Donna, and this is Jesus-Centric Leadership. I'm here with Pastor Josh, and we're continuing our discussion on our culture and the values that we have that we're trying to live out within that culture. And we're not starting out with an easy one, being grace-centered. Can you share that with us?
Yeah, so the way we're saying it is grace is more than a word. It's how we God deals with us and how we strive to treat others. This was a bit ago now, but I still remember it. We were at I was at a Super Bowl party with some members, and we were over there, and somebody made this comment that I just love. They said, I feel like peace, and they meant our church, is a place where people who are broken can come. And that's grace, that we don't expect you to meet a certain definition of a Christian or look of a Christian or appearance of a Christian. That we can let you belong and have community here before you fully believe or behave. And I think as we show grace to people, we do embody what Jesus taught. And I think the other value for it that's really important for me is it also teaches me where my value is. So if my value is in that I look better than these other people, that's not a Jesus-centric value. But if my value is in the fact that Jesus loved me just like he loved you, I think I actually speak that grace to myself as well.
Yeah, and if I'm honest, I have a lot of messiness in my life.
We all do, yeah.
Right, the side of heaven we're going to. But it's choosing to see that everyone, as George says, right, on staff, he says, we all have our bag of rocks. It's understanding that we all carry a load and not expecting that anybody has it all perfect or all together. Now, this is very counter our Instagram world, where we like to put out there that everything is perfect and everything is good, right?
Yeah, it is. It is. And just so you're not alarmed, we're not saying that peace is an anything goes culture. Right? That's not what grace is. Grace doesn't say that, yeah, it's not a big deal. That's not what grace is. Grace says, no, it is a big deal. It is a big deal that you have this messiness or your brokenness in life. It is a big deal that you're acting that way. But I'm going to choose, instead of pushing you away, I'm going to choose you to love you. And I'm going to choose to love you as a child of God right where you are, not because your life looks Instagram perfect.
Right.
But because you're loved by Jesus. And so we're not saying, hey, anything goes. We're saying that anyone can be loved here and receive grace from Jesus here.
Now, I used to hear this from a friend. If you're going to mess up on the side of grace. If you're going to err on the side of grace. How does that start changing things? How does that start changing relationships? How does that start changing the church?
Yeah, can we maybe jump to cancel culture?
Yeah.
You want to go there?
Let's do it.
Yeah, so I think cancel culture says, right, that if you don't do it my way...
It's the highway.
Yeah, right. Thank you for that. But yeah, if you don't do it my way, then I'm done with you.
Right.
Right? If you don't look and appear and think and act like me, then I'm done with you, right? And there's been artists and TV shows and people that have been canceled. And I don't know, maybe rightfully so. I'm not arguing that for that. But what we say in grace is it's not how we look at you. It's not your actions that make you valuable, but it's the fact that it's two things, really. Grace comes from two places. Were you created in the image of God? Yes, you were. Did Jesus die on the cross for you? Yes, he did. So guess what? Whether you believe in Jesus or act like us, we should show you grace and love you where you're at.
And who in your life has extended that life-changing grace?
Yeah.
What if you haven't experienced that? You might be talking a foreign language to me if I've never had somebody extend that kind of grace.
Yes, because I think the church can generally embody judgment and can embody a lot of things. I hope if you're at peace long enough, you're going to see that. And that's part of why I want to talk about that, because I don't want to be the church that shows people the nasty side of Christianity. Amen. Because we do have truth, but we also have grace. So how can we walk that balance well for the people that are around? And so if you haven't embodied, if you haven't felt that yet, I would say, you know, dive richly and deeply into community, and you're not going to find grace, perfect grace, but you will find people who will love you because you're a child of God, I think.
And we see that perfect grace through Jesus. So we really have experienced it. And in
your answer is much better. Keep going, by the way.
And in his life, he did that with the woman at the well. He did that with the woman they were about to stone. He did that in so many ways, and gave them that identity that they were hungry for, right, in him.
Yeah, right. And I think, you know, that's where we ultimately look for this example of grace is in Jesus. Thanks for bringing us back around to that. I think the reality of it is, yeah, if you haven't experienced it yet, like dive deeply into Jesus because he does give you that grace.
So I want to interject this. We didn't talk about this, but okay. There's a term that gets used a lot, cheap grace. Can you like help us understand that? What does that mean, and why does that term get thrown around sometimes?
So cheap grace is grace that doesn't do much, right? So if I think I'm a really, really good person and I just need a little help, then all I need is cheap grace. Or if I think that that I kind of can just come to church, I can kind of say I'm sorry for my sins, go through the motion, and God gives me grace, that's cheap grace. So cheap grace is just grace that doesn't need to cover much. But I think we realize, you know, the cost of grace. It was Jesus dying on the cross.
Right.
And we also realize that it's the cost of our sins, whether it just be gossip, whether it being mean to somebody, whether it's pushing someone away that God has called me to have a relationship with. All those things are big deals. And so we don't just need a little grace to cover that. We need a lot of grace. And so if we've been given a lot of grace, we get to show a lot of grace.
Yeah, I think I'm able to at least strive for that if I start looking at people through the eyes of Jesus. And then the messiness, the heart that they are going through in their life isn't what stands out to me. I get to love them and I get to encourage them.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't agree more. I think when we understand how much we've been forgiven, it lets us be grace-filled toward other people.
Right.
And so I think when we can be real with our own sin, we can be real with being grace-filled to other people.
Really, really great. Excellence.
Yeah, I mean, seeming like we're jumping a totally different direction, but we look at it this way. We are all in for Jesus, giving his mission our best, never what's left over or good enough.
When I hear that, we are all in for Jesus, all I can see is Peter going, wash all of me, Jesus, I'm in. Yeah.
Yeah, right. And then Jesus' response, you're only a little dirty. Yeah. I think absolutely. I think Jesus could have come down to the world and kind of been halfway in for us, right? He could have asked his disciples to be halfway in. But he didn't. He said, come follow me. He said, hey, I have a big mission. I have this big, great plan to save the whole world. Not just some people, but the whole world. And so I think for me, when I think about excellence, if Jesus gave everything for me, then I want to give it to the world. I want to share that with the people around me, the best that I have to give.
Okay, so this sounds really good in a podcast, right? Like, oh, there you are, Pastor, in the comfort of the studio, challenging us in excellence. Can I ask, where have you been challenged to excellence? Like, where have you really felt that challenge yourself?
So it was actually where I picked up on this word as a Christian concept was actually down in Nicaragua. So they had the value of excellence down there. And it was kind of crazy. You kind of walk through the slums where it's like almost cardboard houses, and then you walk to the school. And the school, you know, has a big concrete fence around it to keep the children safe. But then the buildings and the lawn and the everything was immaculate. In fact, the groundskeeper was out there and he was edging the grass between the grass and the flower bed with a machete. And I thought it was the coolest thing ever. And he actually let me try it. It was kind of fun to edge, but it was so immaculate. And, you know, and the Wayne, who's our missionary down there, he was explaining, well, our value is excellence. What we want to show people is that when we're following God, we give our best. And it was interesting like how that affected how the children learned, that affected how they approached their studies, that affected the teachers. And it's a simple little value, but it made such a big difference. And my thought was, okay, how do I bring that into my ministry? Because no, I'm probably not going to be out there edging with a machete, but how can I do the best in every sermon I preach? Because if people are going to sit and listen for 20 minutes and hopefully engage the Word of God, how can I not just say the Word of God, but do it with my best? Because I think people gravitate to that. And then I've seen it like with a VBS, like one of the things Sarah's really passionate about is decorations.
Right. She does a great job.
Yeah. And I remember on Vicarage, where that really solidified for me is on Vicarage, my student pastor, when we did VBS and we did it with the pastor's wife. And she said, you know, last year people really weren't that excited. And so one of the things Sarah said is, well, we're going to decorate big. And what it did for the leaders is when they walked in, they saw that somebody cared about this enough, so it changed their excitement, the way they led the kids, the way they operated. And so I think when we do something well, it makes people excited to be a part of it. And so if we have this great mission to seek and save the lost, how do we get excited about it? How do we give it our best?
Yeah, this is a huge value of ours in student ministry, and especially on mission trips. And when we would go to Juarez and build homes, the homes are probably the size of a tough shed here in, you know, Aurora. And the cost is pretty much the same. But for when you give the keys to a family, they're looking at it like a 6,000 square foot home that Lennar Builders made, right? And I started sharing with the students, for some of them, this may be their only home. And we get to live it out. We get to build with excellence and serve with excellence, and not just say it, but to do it, and to bless, to be a blessing as we've been blessed, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, shout out to Will and Nate who helped us on this podcast. We're actually re-recording this. We had this recorded back in February.
Right.
And we're re-recording. I don't know if we're going to be as interesting as we were before, but like the audio's excellence. And they told us, they asked us, hey guys, we're going to need to re-record it. The audio was bad. And we do. We want to have this be the best experience for you, because if we're asking you to lead with excellence, to represent Jesus with excellence, we want to be doing our part too.
Now, this concept of excellence, again, in at home, maybe that makes sense. In the, you know, with our families, it makes sense. But I'm in a job that I'm doing the same grind, and I don't feel seen by my supervisor, by my boss. I haven't gotten a raise in a few years. Speak a little bit to how we get to be hands and feet through excellence in areas that we don't feel seen or recognized, or it's a daily grind.
So I would say is that I think one of the ways that we do get recognized is with our excellence. Like the Bible says, work at all things as if you're working for God, not for men. And so I think in our daily lives, in our parenting, at work, with whatever we're doing, when we think about that, who am I actually serving at the end of the day? You're serving God, whether you're poking people with needles or picking up trash, or you're a doctor, or you're working in an office, or you're an accountant. You're ultimately serving God. You're making His creation a better place. You're serving the people around you. And so I think we got to change that I'm, you know, I don't want to give my boss my best. Well, you may not want to, but can you give God your best? Can you give your family your best? Can you give the people around you your best? Because what does God say? He says, love God, love others. And so, yeah, which is easy said in a podcast studio and hard to live out in the world.
Yeah, what got me right then when you were talking about that verse was in all things. He didn't go in the ones that the church encourages you to, or in what you feel fulfilled, or where you find your significance. It says in all things. And I know you've challenged me with the whole be the hands and feet of Jesus to your neighbors. And I've mowed my neighbor's yard. I have snowblowed it. And I've kind of reached a point of, what is this even worth? Like, he never comes out. He never says anything. Nobody sees this. Like, this is not fun hands and feet. And then you say, in all things.
Yeah.
And we get to.
Yeah, and do it the best we can. Like, if I'm going to shovel somebody's driveway, I'm going to do it the best I possibly can, right? Absolutely. And then, you know, positivity. I'll be just honest, and I'll say the statement in a second, but this is, I think, what I've learned from peace very clearly. I don't know that this was natural to me, but I think it's a part of our culture that's just so abundantly clear here at Peace, and that's positivity. But this is what positivity is for us. Our stance is clear. Be for something way more than against anything. So I saw this meme the other day that men in jeans made this country, men in suits destroyed it. What do you think about that?
I think I'm not going to comment on that. That's rough.
Right,
wow.
Don't ever want to wear a suit again.
Yeah,
right?
It sounds super judgmental. I don't know.
Yeah, and I think there's a point in it, and I think our point is that the average American person does for this country than our politicians do. Right, and I think I'd agree with that probably. You know, if you're a politician, sorry, thanks for your service.
I think you've got a friend who is right.
I do, yeah, but I think like you could say that in a more positive way.
Right.
But see, in our world, what gets traction on social media, what gets traction on the news, is not positivity, but negativity, right?
Yeah, it's really become a weight, and I think the harder some things get, you know, as social media. Like when I was a kid, it's going to sound, maybe sound super old, okay?
But when I'm going to be kid, positive. I won't say that.
When I was a kid, the newspaper came out each morning, twice a day. The mornings was usually the day before's news, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the afternoon newspaper was whatever happened that night and mm-hmm. possibly early morning. The way we got news given was way different.
Mm.
And now in a viral world where I can just pull out my phone or my thoughts, and if my thoughts aren't on point, then I've got this big negative stuff I might just blurt out on social media. And it's a muck sometimes of just wading through this heaviness of not positivity, but of stuff. It's hard.
Yeah, and I think that's the challenge that we're talking about. And I would just ask this question, like, what if Jesus would have led with what he was against, right? Because Jesus was against a lot, right? What if he would have gone after sinners every time he saw a sin? Because was it right for Jesus to be against sin? Yeah, absolutely. What if Jesus would have been against the law because he was for grace and just torn down everything the law had to say because he was against the law because he was for grace. Like we can go on and on that. What if he would have ran away from death because he was for life, right? And so what I think we see Jesus doing over and over and over again is we see him being more for something than against something. We see him being for people. We see him being for sinners. We see him being, I mean, he even got accused of hanging out with tax collectors and drunkards, right? Like, and yet he was what? He was for them as people. And so how do we be more what we're for than what we're against?
How do you do that in the world today, though? Like, we do live connected. We do live very much off people's feelings and thoughts in the moment. It's not like there's a day buffer between the time we get the news. I'm getting your raw negativity sometimes. I've seen people do that with their kids. They rant on social media about their kids and what they won't do or their spouse. I just cringe when I see those things. But how do we do that in a world that's immediate and emotional?
So I think first is understanding that if you're going to lead people, how you lead with your emotions is important. So when you're around people, you've got to kind of guard in certain ways and certain times, you got to guard those negative emotions because they do make a difference. But then I think it's understanding at the end of the day that our positivity comes not from inside of us, what's going on in our lives, but it comes from Jesus, right? The reason I can be positive is that Jesus is for me. That Jesus wins at the end of the day, that Jesus defeats the devil, that Jesus defeats the problems in this world. And I think really looking at it, and I think it's some of it's just calling it out, that like right now, negativity is a really easy platform. It's really easy to get traction because of negativity, but we want to be positive.
Yeah, and sometimes you've encouraged this with staff. Sometimes I want to jump into those moments and set the record straight. And you've encouraged us to be a non-anxious presence. And so I step away, and when I step away, sometimes my perspective does become more positive. I pray about it. You know, God, just give me fresh eyes and fresh ears as I look at this, because that's not going to be a good place for it all just to try to sort things out.
Yeah.
Sometimes we just got to let that moment go and to bring positivity in by being that non-anxious presence.
Yeah, and to understand as a leader that when you stir up negativity, you stir up other people's negativity, because negativity is really easy to latch onto. But as a leader, we want to lead with positivity. And that's, I think, in our world going to look really countercultural, but I think in our world it's going to look really appealing. And I think positivity is a way that we can really be countercultural.
I'm going to extend this podcast just a little bit.
Yeah.
But one of the comments that was made to me about our podcast is, these are great ideas and thoughts, but I've got a little bit of Christian fatigue. Mm. I fight the good fight every day, and some days I'm just showing up, and that's the best I can do. So these values that we've talked about so far, but especially today's, I think can sometimes put us in a place of Christian fatigue. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, I think absolutely. It's hard to be a Christian. It's hard to live in a countercultural way. And these are all things that I think can be very countercultural, things that we're not necessarily going to find in cultural. Maybe excellence in some circles, but I think especially the grace-centered and the positivity aren't common. And I think that's where we have to, again, we got to go back to, are we being filled up with ourselves, our accomplishments, our time of rest? Or are we ultimately being filled up with Jesus? And that's really, you know, the question that I guess when I say it like that can sound a little, almost a little judgmental, but I think it's that reminder of we get what we need from Jesus. And if we know that he loves us, that he accepts us in the midst of our grind, in the midst of our challenges, then I think it gives us the energy to go out and live that with other people. But then the last thing I'll say that maybe is a little hard, but Jesus said, right, take up your cross and follow me. And what is the cross? Well, the cross isn't our own burden. Sometimes we read it like that, but what is the cross? What was the cross for Jesus? It was other people's burdens. And so sometimes when we're out in the world and we can be a voice of positivity, a voice of grace, a voice of excellence, that's what we get to bring into the world. And that's a burden that we get to carry, that we have the joy to carry. But yeah, it's hard. And that's part of why, you know, we want this podcast, where we want a place where you can lean into what Jesus is calling you to and the joy that he's calling you to, and have groups that can support that.
So video games, you can level up, right? So does this help me level up as a Christian if I can master all of these values? I'm asking all the easy questions today.
No, not level up, but we do. Again, we think your best life is found in following Jesus well. And so we think this will help you follow Jesus a little better.
Great. Some great discussion today. Thank you so much. And we'll look forward to seeing you at the next episode of Jesus-Centric Leadership.